Amen. You can have a seat. You know, invitations can sometimes catch us by surprise, right? We'll get a wedding invitation, and we heard this was going to be a relatively small group of people at a ceremony, and think, wow, I'm more important to them than I thought, and that's a compliment. Or maybe we get invited to a ball game or a meal by someone that catches us off guard, and we're excited to go, and we want to spend time with that person, and it feels really good. And this series is all about an invitation. It's an invitation to a man named Abram, who gets renamed Abraham, and God is inviting him into the story that we're talking about this whole year. It's described in Psalm 36:5, your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. That's what this story is all about. We began at the beginning of the year with the story of creation and the things that we find in Genesis 1 through 11, and now we've moved to this story of Abraham, in which he's invited into the story of God's love. We also are invited into that story, and that's really the point that we're making, that God has such a deep love for all of humanity that he loves us so much, he's inviting us into his salvation story. Now, as we think about the promises that God's made and some things that show up in life, we know that sometimes things can sound like they are too good to be true, right? I mean, that happens. We see a price on a product that we've been looking at, sort of thinking about buying, see it online, and it's like it's way lower than it should be, right? Well, the first thing that we should think is that's probably a scam, right? Because people do get caught in that and order stuff that never arrives. Or we think, wow, that's an awesome price. We put it in our cart, go to checkout, and find out the shipping is more than the thing we're ordering, right? It's too good to be true. That happens in life. There are things that show up that feel like they are too good to be true. Maybe you meet someone and like they are like so over the top, overly nice. This shows my skepticism, I know. But we think this person is too good to be true. And the old saying goes, when something seems like it's too good to be true, it probably is, right? And we can sometimes carry that thinking over into our spiritual lives. We hear the promises that God has made to us, and we might just think, that sounds just a little too good to be true. Like, think of all the sin that you've ever committed in your whole life. We can't even remember them all. And we're overwhelmed with the guilt that all that creates within us. And then someone says to us in this book, all of those sins can be forgiven. And we think, that just sounds a little too good to be true. And what do we have to do in response to that? Put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's just too easy. Or we think about the promise that death is not the end of our existence, that there is eternal life, that God has called us to spend eternity with him and in a place that should meet every need and take away all sorrow. And that sounds like, well, that just seems a little too good to be true. And if it sounds too good to be true, maybe it is. Well, today, as we continue the story of Abram and Sarai, they were thinking this all sounded too good to be true. And I think there's a lesson for us to learn in their story. Now, we know that when Abram was 75 and Sarai was 65, they were promised, God came to Abram and said, You're going to be the father of so many descendants you can't even imagine it, more than the dust of the earth. I'm going to give your people a land, and I'm going to bless all nations through you. That seemed like a pretty amazing promise. But it was also an amazing promise because he had no children. And he's already, it seems like, too old for that. And so this promise that God makes when he's 75 years old seems entirely too good to be true. Time passes, in fact, more than a decade, and still no children. And so Sarai, Abram's wife, says, take my slave and have a child with her because it seems like it's not going to happen with me. And we want to keep God's promises, so they do. And God says, no, this son Ishmael, this is not my plan. this is not the son of promise. And the time just keeps going by. And they keep wondering, is God going to keep his promise? In fact, 24 years go by, waiting on this promise to be fulfilled. And God renewed the promise. He says, you're not going to have just like as many descendants as the dust of the earth. It's going to be like the stars in the sky, Abram. And God makes this covenant with him. This is how he relates to people in the Old Testament, like a king would, the people underneath him, governing their relationship. God reaffirms the promise, still no kids. And then we come down to Genesis chapter 17, where I want us to look today. And it begins with these words. When Abram was 99 years old. Now, I don't care who you are or what time you live in, 99 is old, okay? It just is. We got a couple of guys in their 90s in first service, and they told me this morning they are not interested in having any more kids at this point in life, okay? They were clear on that. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord, Yahweh, appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Abram, I've got a plan for you. I want you to be with me. God's still inviting Abram into his story, and he's telling him the kind of man that he needs to be. And he says this, then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. And I can imagine Abram thinking, here we go again. With these promises that seem far too good to be true, Abram fell down, face on the ground, and worshiped God. God said this in verse 4, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram, your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful, I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. So Abram's name has changed too. We sort of know him more as this, Abraham, the father of nations. And, you know, I can imagine Abraham just hearing God say this, hearing these promises spoken once more, and in fact, the promises become more expansive than they have been before, not just the father of many descendants, but the father of nations, the father of kings. And Abraham just thinking, it would be awesome if that would happen. It would be great. But it seems pretty impossible. I mean, God has said Ishmael is not the one. That there's going to be another son, and I keep waiting. And it's been 24 years, and God has done nothing. It's just a promise that is too good to be true. And in fact, Abram says sort of that. Those things just don't seem like they can happen. And then we jump down to verse 15. God also said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. And when God changes your name, you better wake up because God's doing something big. It means princess. Both of them do. But I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Now, up to this point, God had made this promise, restated this promise, made a covenant, but every time it's with Abram. This is the first time when Sarah is 89 years old that God says, the son that I'm promising to you will come from her. Okay, first time we hear that. And so what is Abram's response to this promise of God that he and Sarah are going to have a son? Verse 17, Abraham fell face down and he laughed. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? He's just like, he's incredulous. How can this possibly happen? I mean, this is impossible. It is too good to be true, to be plausible, to be realistic. And yet here is God saying this again and again. And even though God has just made a promise to him and just made a promise to Sarah, Abraham is ready to back up just a little bit. Verse 18, and Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. God, I hear you. I hear what you're saying about me and about Sarah, but I've got this perfectly good half-grown son ready to do whatever you want to do. How about you take him and make him the son of promise? And then we don't have to live in this 24 years of uncertainty and waiting and wondering. And God, you can just make things happen now. Wouldn't that be easier, more realistic, plausible even? But that's not God's plan. Then God said, yes, but your wife, Sarah, will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. God could not be more direct. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. God is going to give him a son with Sarah, and he will be the son of the covenant. He will inherit all the promises that have been made to Abraham for him and then for his descendants. And God goes on to talk about blessing Ishmael. That's there, but Ishmael is not the one to inherit the covenant. Okay, we finish up that scene, and then we go to chapter 18. Couldn't have been too long after this, because Abraham is still 99, Sarah is still 89, and they have some visitors. Chapter 18, verse 1. Yahweh appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. So God shows up, and Abraham is doing what 99-year-old men do. They sit on the porch and watch the world go by and maybe take a nap while they're doing it, right? I mean, there's not a whole lot else to do when you're 99. And so Abraham is sitting at the tent. What the way these tents work, the flaps went up during the day. They would put them up and let the breeze blow through to cool everything down. And then at night they would bring the flaps down so it would stay warm. And he's sitting sort of under the front of the tent, under this flap. And he's sitting there to be cool because there's a little bit of shade. And then suddenly there are three men. Now, what Scripture tells us is that one of those men was God himself. So God shows up, makes an appearance to Abraham as a human being. Now, we call that a theophany, all right? You'll see that word occasionally. Theophany means an appearance of God. So who are the other two guys? Well, the next chapter tells us that they are both angels. So you've got God and two angels showing up at Abraham's tent in the heat of the day. But at this point, they just look like regular guys. They look like they're passing through. So Abraham did what you normally did in the ancient world. If you see some travelers, you show hospitality, because travelers are dependent on the hospitality of strangers. You know, there's no rest stops, there's no loves, there's no truck stop, there's no nothing. You just got to pretend, you got to depend on people that you meet along the way. And so he offers them some hospitality. He says, let me get some food. Now, what he has in mind, I mean, what the word says is sort of like snack, okay? But this is classic for the ancient world. You underpromise and you overdeliver. And so he goes into the tent and he says, Sarah, we've got visitors, all right? And we need to feed them. So I want you to get, and this is sort of the equivalent that we see here, I want you to get 20 quarts of flour. Now, folks, if you've baked any bread at all, about 3 cups is what you need for a loaf of bread. This is a lot of bread for 3 guys. Plus, let's kill a calf and let's make some yogurt, all common foods in the ancient world, and we're going to give them a feast. And so he's like in a hurry. He says, let's do this. And so they make all this food, bring it to these 3 guys. Abraham stands off to the side as a host would in the ancient world to strangers, lets them enjoy their meal. And then as they eat, they begin to talk. Here's where it gets interesting. Verse 9, where is your wife, Sarah? They asked him. Now, we don't know whether Abraham has mentioned her by name, but we know they know her name at this point. And he says, they're in the tent. And then one of them said, now remember, Up to this point, Abraham is the one who for 24 years has been coming home to Sarah and saying, God has promised to make me into a great nation. And he's going to give me a son. In fact, he's going to give me many descendants. And last year, God said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. But Sarah has never heard this for herself. And she might have thought Abraham was a little nuts, as a matter of fact, right? God said, he's going to make you a great nation. Sure thing. But here, one of them said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. This is the first time she's heard this said by anyone other than her 99-year-old husband. Now, Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. That is a euphemism, code word for, in the ancient world, the hot flashes were a long time ago, okay? That's past, that's over. She is not of childbearing age. So, Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure? So how does Abraham respond to God's promise in chapter 17? He laughs. How does Sarah respond to God's promises in chapter 18? She laughs. I mean, she can't imagine herself at 89 years old being pregnant. It is too good to be true. This is impossible. This can't happen. And yes, this guy who showed up at their tent is promising that a year from now she's going to have a little boy, but this does not seem possible. Verse 13, then Yahweh said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, I didn't laugh. But he said, yes, you did laugh. What we know is, a year later, Sarah had conceived and carried that baby, and she had given birth to a son, and they named him Isaac, just as God had commanded. They named him Isaac because Isaac means laughter. You see, his name, the name that he carried the rest of his life, told the whole story. The story that God's promise was too good to be true, that it was impossible, that God had done the impossible, and as Sarah later talks about, that this son brought her laughter that she thought she'd never had. So yes, she did laugh in that moment in which it seemed impossible that God could keep this promise, but the laughter carried forward because she had a son, because she was raising this little boy in her old age, and because God had kept his promise. The name Isaac tells the whole story. That yes, the promises seemed too good to be true, but God keeps his promises. And as I think about it, I think that's the lesson for us. That sometimes faith is believing what seems to be too good to be true. It seems impossible. It seems like there's no way God could actually keep that promise. And yet, when God makes a promise, he keeps it. So even though we may sometimes look at the promises that God has made to us and think, that just seems too good to be true, that just seems to be too easy, sometimes faith is believing in what seems too good to be true. And we need to be reminded of the words that God spoke at that tent on that day in verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer is no, absolutely not. Nothing is too hard for God to accomplish. And so when we think about the promises that God has made to us and go, yeah, I hear what you're saying. I hear you saying that Jesus died on the cross, he was raised from the dead, and that because of that, he offers us forgiveness of sin. The story is that Jesus went to the cross for me to pay the price for my sin. And we might think, that seems too good to be true. But John, one of the people who walked with Jesus throughout his ministry when he was writing to an early church, wrote these words. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So whatever your sin is, whatever it is you're thinking today, I don't really believe God could forgive me for that or for doing that so many times. John is saying God is faithful and just. He is just as faithful to us as he was to Abraham and Sarah when he made promises that seemed too good to be true. And when we think about eternal life and think death seems so final, so you're telling me that we are going to be raised from the dead, actual physical bodies raised from the dead to spend eternity with God. And we think that seems too good to be true. And yet we hear John, this same John, saying in the Gospel of John, the story of Jesus' life, and probably what is the most famous verse in the New Testament, maybe in the whole Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. It might seem too easy. It's not easy. It's not simple, and it's not cheap. Because what it cost was God sending his Son to die a horrible, painful, humiliating death because I'm a sinner and God wants to invite me into a relationship. You see, this Son that was a descendant of Abraham, the fulfillment of a promise, not 24 years later, 2,000 years later. And it might feel too good to be true, but it's the same God who is faithful to Abraham and Sarah that is being faithful to you when he says, I'll forgive your sins and I want to spend eternity with you. And why would God do that? Because he loves us that much. Let's pray together. God, if we're honest, many of us sometimes have that sense that it's just too good to be true. God, help us to remember that you are a promise keeper, that you make promises and then you keep them. God, help us put our faith in you because you're that kind of God. And so we ask once again for the forgiveness that comes only from Jesus, and we look forward to the eternal life that he offers us. And we give thanks for the relationship that you've invited us to be in. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and continue.